Good morning, Washington, D.C. What's up, what up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and at 'em and start your Saturday morning off right here on D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We got you covered, both ends of the dial, 106.7 FM, 980 AM, and on the go with the Odyssey app. And training camp in Ashburn began last week. Today, another practice early this morning. The guys are on the practice field right now. We heard from Dan Quinn this morning at 8 a.m. I'll try to play a little bit of that audio for you guys as we bring you the latest news and notes as they happen in Ashburn, Virginia for Commanders 2026 training camp. But sitting here on the 1st of August, I mean, it's just so nice that there's actual football stories to talk about, not Instagram stories, not off-the-field issues, not roster problems. We can actually talk about and break down what's going on the practice field in Ashburn, Virginia. But I wanted to start with the vibes because I think it absolutely matters that the vibes were off last year. Nikki Javala, as well as others, pointed that out last season. The vibes, from all the reports I've seen, are much better this year. Well, what does that mean, the vibes being off? Well, I think it was simple when you look back to one of your biggest voices in the locker room being upset with his contract, and that was Terry McLaurin. And I think some of us may have forgotten, including myself, just how much of a veteran leader Terry McLaurin is. The way he runs his routes, the way he coaches up the younger guys. I have loved hearing stories of Terry McLaurin working with Antonio Williams after practice and working with, you know, Jalen Lane and the rest of the guys, coaching them up. He is a coach on the field. He leads by example. And it's so nice to have our wide receiver one, who's such a legit wide receiver one, and I think this is going to be a big season for Terry McLaurin in this offense to move into, if he's not already, in the top 10 for wide receivers in the National Football League. If you look at the Madden rankings, the Commanders have two players in the top 10. That is Laremy Tunsil and Terry McLaurin. I think at the end of the season, we'll be talking about Jaden Daniels and maybe another player in that top 10 room as well. But just McLaurin in the building means so much more than it did last year, obviously, with him missing out. And the vibes are so much better. And the guys, I think, are ready to ramp it up next week. And that's when first practice with pads is Monday. But how can Terry McLaurin help the wide receiver room just by being out there? It's leading by example, showing the way he runs his routes, the little cuts that he makes at the top of his route tree, working with them after practice. Just how we always say Jaden Daniels can make everyone around him better. Terry McLaurin can make everyone in that wide receiver room better as well. Over to the defensive side of the ball. Reports are this defense is bigger. They're faster. They're stronger. They're more athletic. And they're running things that are going to be more disguised than they were last season. And from what I've seen on social media and read online, the bigger is the defensive line, right? I thought it was really cool with Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer this past week talking about Adafe Owe looking like a $100 million man. Like, if you just envision somebody that's making $100 million, they better be as big and as freakishly strong as Adafe Owe. And all reports are he looks the part of a $100 million man. And then there's others as well that are big and stronger guys. Charles Emenyehu helps as well. You bring back Tim Settle also. The speed. We'll see what the speed looks like when I get my eyes on training camp next week. But I'm excited to see Nick Cross. Rasul Douglas, who I've heard has made a couple of very strong plays so far. And we're more athletic, and that's pretty obvious with the guys we brought in the offseason with Leo Chenault and your number 7 overall pick, Sonny Styles. The athleticism that those guys have compared to an aging Bobby Wagner is just night and day. Now, they're going to have to get up to the speed in terms of the NFL IQ that Bobby Wagner had that allowed him to be a step slow and a step late and still make a play because he knew where he needed to be 2 seconds ahead of everybody else. But that's what I'm excited to see throughout training camp this season. We heard Dan Quinn say it's red zone works in the few days. Red zone work in the few days as they really want to ramp things up. And I thought it was interesting because when Dan was talking about his plan today, it did seem like the plan revolves around limiting injuries. As we all know, that's the most devastating part of training camp in the National Football League. Feels like Carolina's already lost three players. Every time I look online, they're down another guy, and they started training camp early because Cardinals and Panthers play in the NFL's Hall of Fame game this Thursday night. But when Dan Quinn's talking about his plan for training camp, it felt like everything that goes into the plan revolves around limiting injuries. They're going to ramp things up. You know, I think Monday's going to be a padded practice, Tuesday's not. Wednesday will be a padded practice. They go hard one day, they're going to bring it back the next day. Then they're going to go hard the next day, then they're going to bring it back in. And they're not going to really go all out on the first week of training camp or the first 2 weeks of training camp. It's all about ramping things up so that we are ready to hit the ground running in the first preseason game, and then in the second one, and then going to Philadelphia fully healthy and ready to roll. September 13th. Injury notes. Amos, Armstrong, Wise, haven't heard any updates on those guys. I'm kind of hoping Amos will be back by next week. And I would be pretty shocked if he's not back or if Armstrong and him are not back by the joint practice against the Miami Dolphins because we know how important the coaching staff views those joint practices. Nick Allegretti still out. I'm not too overly concerned because they keep hinting that it's not a long-term thing. I could maybe see Allegretti get back at some point during this upcoming week or next week. The bigger story in terms of injuries is John Bates has a hamstring injury and he is out. And look, tight end is going to be talked about a lot because you're losing a Hall of Famer in Zach Ertz. That's number one. I mean, although Zach Ertz didn't have the best production last season, what he brought to this organization in terms of leadership, in terms of proving that he can still do it, right? I mean, there was just this really cool story about Zach Ertz getting his last chance in the NFL, and it felt like he really did make the most of it in his two seasons here in Washington. But when you're moving on from a guy that's that good and that much of a veteran and that much of a voice in the locker room, tight end's going to be very important. So you bring in Chigakonkwo, and I think that there's a lot of hope and excitement that he can maybe take his game up a few notches, not just one notch, a few notches with a offense designed to get him, 60 touches in a season, maybe more, an offense that really likes to throw to the tight end. Jaden Daniels has really enjoyed throwing across the middle to the tight end, especially Zach Ertz on third down and goal line situations. And with Chig, you really hope an improved quarterback and more targets. You can see him maybe make a big leap from tight end 20 to 25 to maybe tight end 10 to 15, maybe even higher than that because of his speed and ability to make a play after the catch. I'm very high on Ben Sinnott. That's just me personally. I know some people think that it was a wasted draft pick. He hasn't delivered, blah, blah, blah. I believe that he was sitting behind a Hall of Famer, Zach Ertz, and I thought he did an incredible interview on B. Mitch and Finley last week talking about how he hired a coach to help him with some of the mental side of things in terms of being able to go all out every rep without being discouraged that you do not get the ball. And I thought he was very honest talking to those guys about how he felt like he did everything and still Zach Ertz would get the ball thrown to him, and he would not get the opportunities. And I think from some of the stories we heard about Ben Sinnott maybe struggling in practice, that was a report last year, that maybe the mental side of things was really the most difficult part for him to understand that, yeah, even though you're not getting your opportunities, you still need to provide the best rep possible to help everybody else around you. And I think this is his big opportunity. As much as everyone wants to talk about Chig, and we should talk about Chig because he's going to lead the tight ends in catches and he might be number two in receptions on the team, I believe Ben Sinnott is going to surprise a lot of people this season in a more traditional under-center offense in which the play-action little dump off to the tight end could be a big weapon for the Washington Commanders. So John Bates being out with a hamstring injury, it's not good for the tight end room, but it means it's going to give Ben Sinnott, this big opportunity. Colson Yankoff, a big opportunity. It's a next man up situation in a position group where I felt like you were already pretty deep. So it's not the worst case scenario to have John Bates have a hamstring injury right now. You know, hamstrings are something you got to be careful with, and he is such a solid and above average blocking tight end that you very much want him out there on running plays to start the season. So take it slow, and we'll bring him back when he's fully ready. But it will give Ben Sinnott a great opportunity over the next week or two to prove that he belongs and deserves opportunities this season. And the injury note I was very excited for was that Trey Burks is back, and this is his big opportunity in the National Football League to keep his career alive. This is it for Burks. And if you've listened to the show, I said he is in line to be wide receiver too, but he needed to be perfect in minicamp, perfect in OTAs, and he needs to go out there and ball out at training camp. And that's why it was so disappointing after day one that he suffered the foot strain and was out for a few days. But Coach Quinn said he is back on the practice field today, and that is a terrific report because we all know how important wide receiver is for Washington, and it does feel like the fan base is clamoring for more help at wide receiver. Maybe Burks getting back healthy is going to be a guy that we can maybe see take a step forward this week. But I think the fan base is going to continue to ask for a wide receiver, and that will be one of our topics today on AWOD Radio. Did Adam Peters make a mistake this offseason not bringing in more help at the wide receiver position? Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Happy first of the month. You're listening to DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. I'm AWOD. This is AWOD Radio here on The Fan and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Just after 9:15 on a Saturday, August 1st, and there is going to be a whole lot of training camp coverage here on AWOD Radio today. And all of our training camp coverage is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. That's brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. And today, the fans were in the building and are currently in the building right now watching practice in Ashburn. I'm going to encourage all the fans that are there to try to call in and tell us about your experience after practice today. But I saw you had the president, Mark Klaus, firing up everybody, talking about the new stadium coming to RFK. And Daryl Green was reintroduced to the Commanders family. He said he will be helping out with the new stadium and everything that goes on with what will take place there at new RFK with that neighborhood. Fans got fired up to see John Riggins reintroduced, and he opens up his jacket to show off the logo that we all remember seeing on his helmet as he scampered into the end zone. Fans in attendance always brings more fun and excitement, and that is today, Fan Attendance Day for the Washington Commanders. And so I wanted to get into the injury news real quick because John Bates out, that's the bad. Allegretti still out, Amos Armstrong-Wise. Trey Burks is back, which means we can get a fair evaluation today and later this week on the Washington Commanders wide receivers. And everybody, it seems, on social media has an opinion about the Commanders wide receiver group. And here's what I would like to say. Do you believe in Adam Peters? Because I do. And for decades, I have been praying for a guy that I believed knew what he was doing to be in charge. I was here for the Vinny Serrato era. You guys remember that? Bruce Allen, Scott McLuhan, a bunch of losers that I felt like I never had trust in who they would draft, who they would develop, who they'd bring in free agency. And now we have Adam Peters. And year one, Adam Peters gave me the single greatest season of my football life. And I know I'm jealous that I wasn't around for the Super Bowl era, right? I'm jealous I didn't get to see us have that parade. I've seen a Nats and a Caps parade. But I lived through some terrible seasons where I hated ownership and I hated the general manager. Then Adam Peters came along and literally gave me the best season of my life. And I started to believe. And last season sucked. It definitely sucked, but it didn't change my belief in our general manager, all right? And so do you really think that the general manager wasted entire offseason in terms of wide receiver? Did he just decide that I don't care about wide receiver going into a critical year three for Jaden Daniels and a critical year three for Dan Quinn? Because everybody's acting like if we don't sign Stephon Diggs, then the sky is falling and the season's over before it began. It's starting to really frustrate me. Would I take Stephon Diggs? Yes. Yes, I would. But I believe in Adam Peters. And Adam Peters brought in four guys who I think can compete as wide receiver threes, and maybe one of them will pop off into that wide receiver two. And, oh, yeah, if you bring in Stephon Diggs, one of these guys misses out and loses an opportunity. And that is Diami Brown. And the fan base is so funny on Diami Brown, because if you told me the day after the Detroit Lions game that Diami Brown was back, I'd be so fired up. But if you told me after he went to Jacksonville for a year and stunk it up, nobody's as excited. I am excited for Diami Brown coming back, and all reports are him and Jaden are already on the same page, just like it never left, right? Number two, Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks has the leg up on everybody to be wide receiver two because he was a first-round pick, and he made the player of the year last year, and that got him to stick around. Looked really good in minicamp and OTAs. I said he needs to be perfect in minicamp and OTAs. All reports were he nearly was. Training camp starts, he looks good, and then he gets hurt. He's back out there today, which means we've got our full complement of wide receivers from what Adam Peters did this offseason. Then you have Luke McCaffrey. Fred Smoot was the first to tell me at the Super Bowl this past season at Radio Row that if Luke McCaffrey hadn't been hurt, the entire fan base would have been talking about him as wide receiver too. It's funny because half the fan base hates him because they think that he's given this opportunity because of his last name. The other half of the fan base believes in Luke Skywalker. I'm one of those believers in Luke McCaffrey, given an opportunity this season. And then there's the rookie Antonio Williams, who broke records at Clemson, is really smooth in his route running, has incredible hands. He's going to have an opportunity to surprise a lot of people this season. That's four guys right there competing. You add in Van Jefferson and Jalen Lane as well. Does Washington need another wide receiver? We can all say yes, right? Because I don't think there's a team in the NFL that would say no to a Stephon Diggs because they have too much talent at wide receiver. You can always get better. You can always strengthen your room. But it's just starting to frustrate me that people are acting like the sky is falling because we haven't signed Stephon Diggs. I believe in Adam Peters' vision. And if he decides that Stephon Diggs is needs to be part of this franchise for us to have success and hit the playoffs this season, then okay. Until he's signed, it's not worth talking about it. Just like the former San Francisco wide receiver that people were clamoring for most of this offseason. I believe that they have a plan at wide receiver, and it involves the guys that are actually in the building that are practicing today out there in Ashburn. And here's the other part of this situation. Wide receiver two. Well, in 2024, who was wide receiver two? Technically, in terms of receptions, I would say it was Zach Ertz. If it's not Zach Ertz, you're looking at Olamide Zaccheaus. You can't tell me we couldn't replace Olamide Zaccheaus, who's bounced around the league left and right and is now on another new team. I think we can replace Olamide Zaccheaus. And Zach Ertz was number two, and that's why a lot of people believe that Chig Okonkwo is going to be number two in receptions this season. And I do think that Chig can run some of these wide receiver routes. He looks like a bigger wide receiver rather than just a smaller tight end. He's huge, and he's fast, and he's strong, and I'm very excited about what he can bring. And I also told you about Ben Sinnott. So if you have two tight ends that can pass catch, right? If you have two guys that can really play wide receiver three, and then you have two guys that can kind of be your borderline wide receiver twos, I think that you have enough at wide receiver. And, oh, yeah, we need Jaden Daniels to stay healthy, and we need Rashad White to be a contributor as well, like Austin Ekeler was 2 years ago. So you can tell me we need Stephon Diggs. I hate this notion that the sky is falling every single day that we don't sign him. It's starting to really frustrate me. Just like the entire offseason, people were begging and begging and begging for the former 49ers wide receiver. Do you believe that Adam Peters is just going to waste a season here because he believes in some guys that haven't proven themselves? I think he sees, hey, we drafted Luke McCaffrey to be that guy, and then he got hurt, all right? Now we're going to draft Antonio Williams to make that room even stronger, and we're going to bring back De'Ami Brown because we liked what he brought as a speed weapon in 2024, and we're going to give this guy, Trey Burks, an opportunity to make the team. I want to see those guys this week get their chances to go out there and make plays, and maybe one of those guys will pop off. And I believe that Adam Peters has this wide receiver position figured out. I hate this notion that, oh yeah, we can't win games without Stephon Diggs on this roster. We won in 2024 without really a wide receiver too. We need Jaden Daniels to get back to his MVP form. I'd rather talk about Jaden Daniels than bringing in Stephon Diggs. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. How do you get the people going as fans are in attendance today? Well, they started training camp by throwing to the offensive linemen. Maybe there's a sneaky wide receiver two option out there in Brandon Coleman, Laremy Tunsil, or Josh Connerly. Nikki Javala posting videos on Twitter. Pretty funny. I love to check that out. I'm at AWOD Radio on Twitter, AWADDRADIO. The show is at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. AWOD Radio continues on a Saturday morning next on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And it's just such a breath of fresh air to talk about actual football on the field. Commanders training camp going on today, right now in Ashburn, with fans in attendance. And it does feel like there has been a clear theme of the opening week of Commanders training camp. If you want to chime in, tell us what you think the opening week theme has been. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it all on air. All of our training camp coverage on The Fan is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice. That's brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice. To me, the clear theme of the opening week of training camp, listening to the introductory press conference of Adam Peters and Dan Quinn last week, and the theme has continued every single day with what I've heard from people, it's the excitement. Oh my goodness. Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, I thought they were doing a bit, said the word excited 150 times. They're excited about this. They're excited about that. Excited about everybody being back together. Excited about the opportunity. The excitement is the theme of the opening week of training camp. That's why it always feels like it's back to school week, right? I know from myself, back to school week was kind of bittersweet, right? Like, yes, it was great to see all your friends again, but also you knew, hey, it's time to get back to work. The summer's over. Well, the theme of this week has been everybody's excited for the new players, excited for the new coaching staff, right? It's not very often that you keep a head coach but change coordinators on both sides of the ball. Defensive coordinator Durante Jones, excited to see his new defense, his disguised blitzes. David Blau, we've talked a lot about Blau already this offseason as the first-time play caller. He's not scared of that. This is a guy that's been ready for this moment, a guy that Dan Quinn believed he could empower to take over the entire offensive side of the ball. Excited for the new season, which means new possibilities, new play calls, new opportunities, new chances to make something special. And I personally am so excited about this upcoming season. It has been the longest offseason of my life because we've been talking about Jaden Daniels' dislocated elbow since last November. Looking forward to what he can hopefully do in 2026. What surprises have you seen early on in camp? The first thing that comes to mind for me is running back Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, Bill. All right. What is Bill's role? And I've made it clear to my listening audience in Richmond Monday through Friday, I am not calling Bill a seventh-round pick anymore. I'm putting a dollar in the jar every time I slip and call Bill a seventh-round pick. Because the truth is that when you play a full season in the National Football League and you run for 800-plus yards and 8 touchdowns, you're not a seventh-round pick. You're an NFL player at this point. And Bill's an interesting case because he probably wouldn't have been a seventh-round pick if he was allowed to play his final season at college. He played just one game at Arizona. So, of course, we talked about this last offseason. I think you credit Adam Peters and his scouting department to find Bill a seventh-round pick that really could have gone in the fourth or fifth round, and he proved why with what he did his rookie season. And I thought it was very interesting listening to Dan Quinn talk about what they want to do to challenge Bill this year, to be a guy that you don't want to take off the field because they believe that he can pass protect for Jaden Daniels. They believe that he can make the grab out of the backfield and make a guy miss. I think it's pretty clear the role for Bill needs to be, hey, we need you to be an every down back. And we have other guys that can take your position, and we have other guys that can spell you, but we're challenging you to be a first, second, and third down running back this season to prove that you can have some of the soft hands that Rashad White has, right? That you can do some of the tough yardage situation that we brought in Catron Allen for. And from what I've seen and heard, Bill looks stronger. He looks like he's bulked up a little bit from his rookie season to right now. And I'm kind of very optimistic about what Bill could do this season as this team's starting running back. I kept thinking to myself throughout the offseason, Rashad White's going to steal some of his playing time. Rashad White's going to be a big addition this offseason. But maybe Bill can hold him off a little bit throughout this season if he's able to still have that speed to hit the outside, but more trust in this coaching staff that he has the soft hands, they can make the catch, and that they can trust him on short yardage situations. Because I do think, as much as nobody's saying, oh, we missed Brian Robinson Jr., I do think we missed what he brought in terms of third and one and fourth and one situations, where you could just put it in his gut and he would fall forward for a first down. I'm hoping there's going to be a guy on the roster that can do that for Washington this season. But it's the opening week of training camp, and today the Commanders are in Ashburn with the fans in attendance. And Dan Quinn spoke to the media earlier today, and we mentioned some of the injury updates that he talked about, but I wanted to let you guys hear from Dan Quinn on Burks and Bates, the two big injury news that came out earlier today from Ashburn. Here's your head coach, Dan Quinn, on The Fan.
I want to give a couple injury updates. Trey Burks will be back at practice today, and John Bates strained his hamstring in Thursday practice, so that'll knock him out for a couple of weeks.
So Bates will be out for a couple of weeks, but Burks being back today means you have all of your wide receivers in the building together on the field catching passes from your group of quarterbacks. So it will be a big practice for the offense, I feel like, here to maybe get their first win, right? I'm not concerned because this always happens every year where defense is ready before the offense and they come out flying and then the offense starts to understand their offensive play calls and they start to get some wins. But this happens every year where the defense wins the first few days. And I liked Terry McLaurin's honesty when he was talking to the media the other day saying, yeah, we lost today. Now we got to go out there and try to win tomorrow and win the next day. And it does feel like, you know, when we're talking about the themes of the first week of training camp, it does feel like the vibes are up as number one. Number two, I think it's a more competitive training camp across the board than it was last season. There's more competition on the offensive line with Brandon Coleman really trying to win that spot. There's more competition at wide receiver and at tight end than there was last season at this time. There's much more competition at linebacker than there was at this time last year. It was Bobby Wagner's team at linebacker. This year, who's going to be the green dot? Sonny Styles is my plan to eventually win it, but that might be 4 weeks into the season, 6 weeks into the season. How long can you rely on Frankie Louvu to do that? What is Leo Chenault's role? You know, every team in the NFL has a guy that's been a special team star that leaves to become a starter somewhere else, right? And Zach Bond was that guy for the Eagles. And it's incredible how good he's been at linebacker. And I'm not saying that could be Leo Chenault, but he left Kansas City for a starting role. Kansas City fans were pissed to see him go, right? And I loved that. I love that. Let's see what he could do in Washington, giving more snaps, more of an opportunity to make a play on the defensive side of the ball this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. What have you noticed of the themes of the opening week of Commanders training camp in Ashburn, Virginia? Let me focus in on the defensive side of the ball for a second, and particularly the secondary, because there was certainly, when we talked last Saturday, I broke the news to you guys after it was reported by the Commanders that Amos, Wise, and Armstrong would start on the physically unable to perform list. And it felt like there was a huge uproar from the fan base that we didn't do enough at the secondary. And through the first week of training camp, Rasul Douglas has made play after play. Like, that's looking like a brilliant signing for Adam Peters from bringing him in this offseason. Where is Mikey Sainer still going to play this season? Is he fully on the outside? Do they kind of bring him in on the inside a little bit? I'm very excited to see what this secondary looks like. Did he do enough this offseason? Well, we won't find out until we get our full version of Trey Amos, because I know there's a lot of excitement for him to develop into a legit starting CB1 or 2 in the National Football League. But, you know, defense off to a good start, and particularly in the secondary, off to a strong start at training camp, I think better than maybe some people would have expected after last week's news that Amos would be out. Yeah, Douglas has filled in that role pretty darn well. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. It's AWOD on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everybody. Time to get up and at 'em. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Commanders training camp going on in Ashburn, Virginia. Today, the fans are in attendance. Our training camp coverage on The Fan brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. And a couple of quick notes. We played the audio from Dan Quinn a little bit earlier, and we'll hear from him again as Metal Chris has cut up some of the quotes from the press conference. The first padded practice will be Monday. That's the first padded practice. I believe he was saying Tuesday will be non-pads or a lighter practice, and then Wednesday they'll ramp things up again this upcoming week, August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Injury notes, Allegretti still out. The three guys that started on the pup still out. John Bates out a couple weeks due to a hamstring injury. So this is a big opportunity for Ben Sinnott to really prove that he is improved and that he is going to be more of a weapon in the offense this season rather than what Cliff Kingsbury ran. But Treylon Burks is back at practice today, which means you have your full weapon of wide receivers on the outside. Dan Quinn was asked about the little things he's seeing at camp that he wasn't seeing last year. And I wanted to start with this clip, Metal Chris, with Dan Quinn, clip number 3 here, because last year at this time, there was just... it was a lot more than just Terry McLaurin being out. But that was the first thing that everybody noticed about the vibes being off with everyone in the building. And I kind of think it's one of those things where 2024 was so damn successful that we were ahead of schedule, that everybody wanted to feel like that they earned something, right? And Terry McLaurin wanted to earn a new bag of money, and everybody wanted to get paid. And we see this a lot in the NFL, where you have success too quick and then you have a step back year. And hopefully it was just a setback for a big step forward this upcoming season. Here's Dan Quinn on the difference between last year and this year at this time.
You've talked a lot about the energy and getting more in here. What little things have you seen maybe already in this camp that maybe you weren't seeing last year?
Not looking back too far, I would say I don't know if it's compared to last year, but I can tell you what I'm seeing now, John. I think like unbelievable connection of the communication back and forth, not just connection as like a friendship, you and I, but the work, the communication back and forth together. I saw it in the spring with like Amik and Mikey just after doing things. And so I'm seeing these pockets of connection and work taking place. And so that would be one example of what I'm seeing.
I think back to the 2024 season's success, and he kept mentioning the word brotherhood that year, and how I talked about it was a newfound energy with everybody coming together. And Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz and Austin Eckler were the veterans mixed with some of the younger guys, Jeremy Chinn, Frankie Louvu, that came in to Washington that year. And there was this connectivity with everybody where, hey, it's a new regime, new coach, new opportunity. Let's make the most of this, right? And there was a brotherhood coming together of everyone. And I'm hoping that Dan Quinn's talking about that he's seeing that again this season where guys are working together off the field, extra time after practice. Everybody's competing, but also on the same page, working together, wanting to make everyone around them play at their best. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I was asking, what do you think is the theme of the first week of training camp so far? The theme online seems to be that the fans want another wide receiver. We'll see this week now that Treylon Burks is fully healthy. We've got our full group of wide receivers. How do they actually look this week at training camp? Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Luke in D.C. What's up, Luke? You're on the Fan.
What's going on, A-Wad? It's good to talk to you again. You know, I love your show. Listen, I honestly loved what you just said. I think it was a couple segments ago and earlier on in the show. I don't think we honestly need to actually address the wide receiver room because I don't know if you're familiar with Anthony Haney and, well, you know Nick Ashew, but they were talking about yesterday that this team kind of reminds, this offense kind of reminds them of how the Rams were run with every man, everybody eats type of offense, you know. If that's the case, I don't think we need Stephon Diggs. We have everybody at our disposal with. I think we could just run with like. I think Luke McCaffrey is going to have a breakout year. I've been on. The kind of, you know, the gif of Mulan against the whole army.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of me with Luke McCaffrey. And social media, everybody's against Luke McCaffrey. I'm the only one. I'm one of the only ones for it. And I honestly think Luke is going to break out because I think he might have a sneaky good season, maybe 700 receiving yards or something like that. And
hopefully. Hey, man, I appreciate you chiming in. I want to touch on the wide receiver room for a second, man. Good call. Thanks for chiming in. 1-800-636-1067. So earlier I was talking about if Adam Peters started training camp with the wide receiver room not good enough, then that's on him. But I believe in Adam Peters, and he started training camp with a legit wide receiver one in Terry McLaurin. There's no doubt about that. We got our wide receiver one in the building. He's happy, he's paid, and he needs to deliver. And if Terry McLaurin's a 1,000-yard receiver and 7-8 touchdowns, we're not going to be talking much about wide receiver two. That's for damn sure. Last year, because Terry missed so much time, we all were concerned about the rest of the wide receiver group. But Adam Peters went into camp with Terry McLaurin as the one, and with four guys that I think are all wide receiver threes to compete for wide receiver two. De'Ami Brown, Treylon Burks, Luke McCaffrey, Antonio Williams. If Adam Peters decides he has to bring in Stephon Diggs, then I think that's Adam Peters admitting his own mistake that he didn't do enough at wide receiver in the offseason. And so we'll see what happens. If they bring in Stephon Diggs, fine. I hate the notion that the sky is falling every day that Stephon Diggs is not here in Washington. And today, it's a good chance for the fans to see the wide receivers because everybody's fully healthy and out there for Washington that plays wide receiver. Let's go back to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Larry in La Plata. What's up, Larry?
Morning. Nice talking to you again. I have to disagree with you. I think Adam Peters' intention was always to bring in another receiver. Thus, again, the waiting game for Ayuk. And now the interest in Diggs. I think that has been their intention the entire year. Now,
that could be fine, Larry, but the clock is ticking, dude. Like, I hate that they're actually practicing.
I realize that. Hear me out. I suspect what we have going on here is a salary issue between the Diggs camp and Adam Peters. Again, look at last year with Terry McLaurin. They will not be in a hurry to sign him, and they're going to look to get the best deal that they can. The rhetoric which keeps coming out of Diggs' camp is, look, our boy was on a pitch count last year. He was playing for a sophomore quarterback, and he gained 1,000 yards. That's why we need so many dollars. Okay, so I seriously think that within 2 weeks, Diggs will be on our roster, and they will come to some sort of accommodation with salary. But I disagree with you. They've been looking for a number two the whole year, and Ayuk failed miserably.
I mean, he definitely did fail, and I can see them bringing in Stephon Diggs. I hate arguing about the salary for him while practice is already underway. Like, Adam, they needed to have that conversation a month ago. What are we waiting for? If they feel like Stephon Diggs needs to be on this team, then give him a contract and bring him in here. It's just frustrating waiting and waiting and waiting while practice is already underway. And the guys out there at training camp are working to be wide receiver too. And you're just going to sign some guy and bring him in ahead of all of them. We talk about the good vibes. That's not good vibes if I'm Luke McCaffrey, De'Ami Brown, Treylon Burks, Antonio Williams, working my butt off every single day to be wide receiver two, and then they just sign the wide receiver two ahead of you. If they were going to bring in Diggs or Ayuk or another wide receiver, I wanted that to happen before training camp. That's my whole point, all right? If they end up bringing him in, fine, all right? But I just think it's going to upset the apple cart a little bit here. We've got guys in the building that are all working their butt off to be wide receiver too, and I believe that there is talent in that wide receiver room right now. Now, Stephon Diggs might be more talented than all of these guys, but he's not here right now. I don't want to talk about the guys that aren't in the building when we're out there in Ashburn practicing right now. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. We'll get to more of your calls next on The Fan.